Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And before we get into today's show, we want to make sure that we do a couple of very important announcements. The first one is that you need to mark your calendars because June the 1st, which is only a couple of days away, we will be launching the application for the new 2021 Master Gardener Intern Training Class. Wow.
Yay! More buddies, more friends.
I can't believe it, you know, that we're going to be able to have our class this year. And we're taking the hybrid approach. And for what all that means is we're going to have as much face-to-face interaction with fellow Master Gardener trainees in the classroom, but also be able to accommodate people that may not be ready to have a lot of face-to-face interaction and be on and join us virtually on Zoom. So we're excited to be able to bring that back to you. If you all remember, last year we did 100% on Zoom. And I think we all have just a little bit of burnout, if not a lot of burnout at this point. So we want to make sure that you have enough time to learn about the Master Gardener program. And there's an application and there's a screening and interview and acceptance process that we follow through. And that's really because our program is really designed not just to train volunteers in the community, but also to gauge and have them to be willing to share that information to the public. And as a result, I mean, we have some of the greatest master gardeners in the state. And, you know, Jan's going to tell us a little bit about an award that was won.
Our dear friend Ignacio Munoz and our president, our current sitting president of the association, was honored about two weeks ago, at the State Master Gardener Conference, which was held virtually. And he took second place as outstanding Master Gardener in the large category. There's a lot of big organizations in the state that we compete with. So we are extremely proud of him. He's an engineer. He's a builder. He's involved in everything and trying to help everybody in every aspect of the association. And that was recognized by the committee that actually evaluated the submissions. And I want to give a thank you too to Evelyn Posey, who is in charge of our awards committee. And she was really wonderful to interview not only Ignacio, but those of us that have worked with him in order to develop that presentation to submit to the awards committee at the state level. So he is very deserving of this award. And of course, Ignacio, if you're listening, that means we're just going to keep working you harder and that you have to really live up now to your title as Outstanding Master Gardener. We already knew that you were, but now the whole state of Texas knows as well. So kudos to you and congratulations for all your hard work and sincere thanks as well.
Absolutely. Great team of Master Gardeners that we have and the great leadership that we have here locally. And Ignacio continues to shatter volunteer records year in and year out. And he's really become a great Master Gardener, even his life after being a mechanical engineer for so many years. So it's a great group to be along with, a great team to work with. So we hope that you're interested in becoming a Master Gardener, and the application process is open all summer long. So if you have any questions on the Master Gardener program, please stop by at any of our face in-person events, as well as, you know, giving us a call. Or a lot of times we have Master Gardeners who have friends and they kind of recruit people in there. So they're a great inlet to recruiting new volunteers for the program. So congratulations once again to Ignacio.
Absolutely. And a question real quick about the class. When will it actually start?
So we're looking to start the orientation at the end of August, and the classes are going to run September through November, and they're going to be all day classes, just like we always have every year, where we have multiple subjects because we have to cover so much ground. The horticultural umbrella is so wide, if you will, that we have to cover a lot of different subjects to be able to be a well-rounded volunteer program. So keep an eye out for that. If you have your Thursdays that are free, that's when our classes are going to be held as well. And we also have other upcoming educational events. Even if you can't commit the time to be a master gardener, there's lots of ways to be able to get some personal enrichment on learning about gardening through a series of different classes that we have. So keep our website bookmarked, and then that way you'll know exactly what is coming up and what programs are going to be available to you.
Exactly.
So here we are. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's the unofficial start of the summer season. And we know that it gets pretty hot, pretty quick out here. So there's a couple of things we want to make sure that we treat, that we look at, especially for those of us that have lawns in our backyard.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that, you know, being in El Paso and being the water conservators that we are, many of us have put in xeriscaping throughout our yard. And you know, I always try to share with folks that, you know, there's xeriscaping and then there's xeroscaping. And xeroscaping is lots of concrete, lots of rock, and no vegetation. And I'm one that has to have at least a patch of grass. I, you know, I used to blame it on having grandchildren that were young and they needed to have a place to run. Or I had dogs. Well, the grandchildren are grown and we don't have the dogs anymore, but I still have to be able to go out there and run my toes through a little bit of real grass, not artificial, but real grass. And in order to do that, we have to take good care of it. And fertilization is key to that. And of course, the water as well. But I'm going to let Denise talk more about the fertilization and the benefits and the water.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we know both of our areas, especially our front yards, they're both kind of on the drier side, if you will. Like, you know, we have some xeriscape in the front. So I like to put my water and my efforts in the backyard as well, because that's the place that I'm going to be at. And that's the place that we're going to spend time. And we do have dogs and children at home too. So that also adds to the need for the lawn. And, you know, we don't want people to feel guilty about having the lawn. I mean, we always say with anything, if your plant has a purpose, that's the main thing. So you just don't want to have something in order to maintain it. That's really important because you want to make sure that water is being hit to the soil, making contact with that plant and traveling through the soil profile. If we put a very light sprinkle of water, well, guess what's going to happen? In our dry conditions, that's just going to evaporate into the atmosphere. That water is lost. You're still going to get charged on that, on your water bill.
For sure.
And you're not going to do your plant any benefit. What's going to happen? You don't water enough too. That's also going to encourage weeds to kind of creep in. And you can always tell the different types of issues that some people have with their lawn is the type of weeds that they have in their lawn. So some of it like compacted, some of it like, you know, dry spots, some weeds thrive in like marshy, you know, wet spots as well. So it's really important to look at that. And then, so that's your watering, that's your key, right? Because we're not going to be able to do any kind of landscape maintenance or in El Paso, we don't have supplemental water on it.
It's important too, Denise, when as you're talking about water and the evaporation component of all this is when you water. I mean, as it gets warmer, the earlier you water in the morning or in the evening when things have cooled off, that makes a big difference for your evaporation rate.
Absolutely. And our current water restrictions tell us that we can't do any outdoor watering between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. But what I would tell you is that I would, first of all, make sure that you're within, you know, eyeshot, earshot of your irrigation system. I personally like to water earlier in the day. because I'll be up, I'll be able to see what's going on. Because if I have a leak or a break in one of my sprinkler heads, I'll be able to see it, as opposed to being in the nighttime. So I like to do that earlier. Temperatures are cooler, but also the humidity is also higher, so we don't have a lot of loss of evaporation. You can also water at night too, but the hotter it gets during the summer, it takes that much longer for the temperatures to cool off. So, I mean, and we've been out there, it's been 9 o'clock and it's been hovering at about 100 degrees. I mean, that's no joke. So that's going to take a little bit of while. You'll read in some publications that that discourages people from watering at nighttime because you can introduce, you know, diseases. So we're lucky that it's not too humid out here, but, you know, we don't have to worry too much about that as well. But, you know, find what works for you, kind of be around when you have your irrigation system going on. And then that way you can prevent any kind of leaks or, you know, issues in your irrigation system as well. So kind of think about that. What I will say about fertilization also is look at doing that at least like once a month during the really a growing season as well. And follow the directions on the label. It's usually about 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet of lawn. So think about that as well. It's great to be able to, you can have a drop spreader, a handheld spreader. If you have a small lawn like mine, to be able to disperse all of the granules. And then the third thing that I would recommend when it comes to fertilization is to stay away from weed and feed products. They can never be too cautious about that. Believe me when I say your trees may be across your yard, but there's roots that are intercepting anything that you put down. If you put a weed and feed product to control weeds on your lawn, you may inadvertently hit those ornamental trees and shrubs adjacent to that. So really stay away from that. Just look directly at a fertilizer with no added components.
It does make a difference too. And I've heard too many sad stories about that. So the advice that you give on that is vital. It's vital.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely if you take care of that water and you make sure that you feed it every now and then, it's going to in turn reduce your weed issue when you don't have a lot of those weeds creeping up in your lawn. So that's a bad situation to be in because nobody wants to be walking barefooted in a lawn and get stickers or anything of that nature. But definitely be proactive out there. Get yourself your lawnmower, whoever that may be. Then teenage son, hired service people, whoever, sometimes it's even yourself. So get out there, mow the grass, keep it healthy. And in return, it's going to give you a space to be able to have space to be able to enjoy your time outside. So we're almost out of time. Wow, it just flew right by.
It goes fast as always.
It really does. We want to thank Victoria Almaguer. She's our producer for Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden